As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
This is Mike Young. Welcome to the Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects with either the 203K by FHA, Homestyle Renovation, which is Fannie Mae, or the VA Renovation Loan Products, just to name a few. If you haven't already heard, some time ago, the VA started a renovation program up to $35,000. That requires a consultant. I hear there's some lenders out there that are not using consultants, but they should be, or they're going to, sooner or later, it's going to bite them in the butt. So the recently, as of, I think it's been a couple months now, Fannie Mae came out with a much larger renovation project, loan program, up to the loan limits. So you can buy a house and do the renovation up to the maximum loan limits, similar to FHA 203 case. In case you want to be part of today's show, you can call us at 888-627-6008, and we're happy to have you join us. And I just saw something that I've got to fix real quick. Hang on one sec. All right. While most 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time, you may find yourself with nobody to talk to. If you're a homeowner and you're having trouble with the contractor, or you're having trouble with the lender not communicating, or you get a lien placed on your property and the lender wants to pay that lien off when the work hasn't been done satisfactorily. So there's a lot of things that could happen. We want to make sure that you're getting heard. So if you want to do that and you're not getting heard, call or check us out at www.203k911.com, and we're happy to see if we can't help you. Most people are helped without a single dollar coming from them. This has turned out to be a humanitarian effort rather than a money-making effort. We do charge some people if they want us to do it all for them, do all the work, do a heavy lifting, and follow it through to the end. But most of the time, we can coach you, and that's free. We're happy to do it. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, there is a website at 203konline.com. Scroll down to the messages and leave us a message about what you'd like to talk about. And we'll be happy to either return your call or give you a number you can call us on and get a live person. Okay, so some of the questions that we had that we're going to start the show with today were a lot of from consultants this past week. The first one is about an Android app for our home inspection portion of the 203K. Every 203K has to have a quasi-home inspection. It's a minimum. It's not a full-blown home inspection with photographs and so forth, but it is. We have to make a cursory inspection of the 35 categorical items on the 35-point checklist. And it's supposed to have a written report that goes with every 203K consultation, every work write-up. I understand there's a lot of people right at the moment that are not doing that. So you're going to get caught sooner or later. Don't worry about it. It'll come to you. You won't have to go to it. In any case, we have created an app some time ago, and I love it myself. It's mostly check boxes. and runs through it pretty quick. It takes about an hour to run through a property, doing checking all the boxes and taking all your pictures. The pictures are mainly for you to refer to later. If you forget to write down something, you can look at your pictures. And they're all in the 35 categories, so it makes it life a little easier for you. Each time we submit a 203K work write-up, per the guideline, we have to inform the client that though this inspection may resemble a home inspection, it is clearly not a home inspection. That's always baffled me how HUD decided in 2009 and then enforced it in 2011 that we should all be home inspectors or belong to a home inspection association. Well, there's a lot of us that are engineers, architects, and so forth, and general contractors who become consultants. So now, through our efforts, they don't have to be home inspectors. It's okay. So each time, why do we have to be a home inspector if we have to acknowledge that what we're doing is not a home inspection? Well, because the home inspection guidelines in most states say we can't put prices to the findings that we come up with. Florida, I understand, requires pricing now, which is pretty interesting. Makes it easier for the consultants to go back and forth. But for most part, most states don't allow you to put a price to the work that you see that needs to be done. If you are going to put a price to it, then HUD recommends you use Home Tech Publishing, hometechpublishing.com. Just type in home tech, all one word, and residential cost guides, and that should find them on internet. If you decide to buy a book, they're very expensive. They're $150. If you will put a checkout code, a discount code at checkout that says, and this is all caps, my team, MYTEAM, you'll get a nice discount, 20% discount. You're welcome. We're happy to do that for and share that with all of our listeners. Having said that, we can get, if you can get the home buyers or homeowners to order a full home inspection, you can, in fact, charge extra and do a full home inspection. You're going to be there 3 or 4 hours, I'm sure. But our little quick inspection sheet is a primarily check boxes, but it writes a narrative report that satisfies the minimum requirements without photos. You can include photos. We don't recommend it. You get an underwriter with nothing else to do. They will scan those photos and try to find something you might have missed. And then they'll be hounding you all day, every day to add those repair items that they happen to see. If you don't see a checkbox that states what you want it to state, you can create one. You can also click on the little microphone and speak into the device you're using and watch it type what you're saying. Several people ask me if it works with other programs. Well, it is a standalone program and provides a PDF that you can add to any other program if you like. So, in fact, it does work with any other program on the market. It creates the necessary PDF. You just combine that with your standard PDF that you're sending into the lender, and you've got it covered. Another question that came in, there's a lot of conferences this year. My goodness, there's always several, but October seems to be the big ones in Las Vegas, and I live in Las Vegas, so we've decided to show our products in the Las Vegas October shows. What are we going to be showing? Well, we'll show that app. We'll have a live demonstration of it. We're going to show some member-only products. So all of you people who are already members of the Mike Young team and get orders from us, you know, we place a lot of orders for our lenders, clients, hundreds of them per year. And we place them primarily with people who are our members. We're going to show you how that radio show that we have, this radio show, can actually help your business come on, let us interview you, join in the conversation. We love to have you join. But let's get on to our phone and email questions from this past week. The big one, repeated one last week was, how do I fire my contractor? We have a contractor who's doing his own 203K, and he hired another contractor because the lender he used didn't want him being the contractor. If that's a problem with your lender and they don't want you to be the contractor on your own project, you need to find a different lender, maybe. So anyway, what happens is the contractor he hired isn't doing the job in a timely manner. He says, can I fire this guy? Well, we are not ever giving you legal advice. It's not the way to go. On 99% projects out of 100, things go smoothly. Have things really deteriorated to the point where you have to fire this person? Especially if you're a contractor and you're working with him anyway, it's just beyond me how that can happen. But I'm sure if you're positive that that's your only recourse, then there is a process that most lenders will require that includes that you have to start the process with a letter from the homeowner / borrower to the contractor that informs him that he's being removed from the project, that he's being fired. You have to detail the reasons for their firing. You can't just fire somebody. They have a contract. And that contractor very well could you take you to court or to arbitration to make you live up to your part of that contract. So this is not a simple thing. It can be. If your contractor is more than willing to leave, then let's just do a change order and relieve him. We can do that and save you a lot of time and money and headaches. You want to include the subject property address and the date of the termination, the date he was fired. You want to sign it and date it. And then you have to have an exit draw. A draw is a payment to the contractor for work they have completed. Now, if you're terminating him, he's entitled to be paid, or she is entitled to be paid for the work that is done to date. So you want to be sure and have an exit draw, a line in the sand that says everything that's completed today is owed to the existing contractor. Now, if you're the contractor and you're working with the contractor of record, and you guys are somehow pushing the money around back and forth, you're going to have a little more difficult time than someone who is hands off. So just be careful. You know, we're happy to talk to you at the time when you start to do this. We've been able to get a lot of them where the contractor is just as fed up with the home buyer as the home buyer is with them. So what we do there is simply do a change order, that a simple agreement that allows both parties to relieve the other party of all current contracts. So if you want to do that, it's the cheapest and simplest way. The other thing is, if you don't do that and you decide to fire him, he has 10 days to perform. Maybe you're firing him because they're not showing up to work. Well, 10 days, you're not going to find anybody to work, because that's the 10-day cooling off period, the 10-day period to make sure no one's going to get back on the job. Contractor has 10 days to fulfill his obligation to the contract and get back in there and fix it. If your problem is that they're not doing quality work, that's always been your responsibility as the owner to get in there and tell them, this is not meet my standards. This is not professional, and it's not done in a workmanlike manner. And those are key words. So anyway, we're going to take a short break. Boy, the time is flying. Call in if you want to be on the show at 888-627-6008. I've had several friends threatening to call in. I challenge you to. And for now, we'll be right back after this short break.
203K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now. And let's fix your problems.
Hey, and here we are back with you. Love my renovation project. Like we say, we don't love them all, but we love most of them. You always have that 1 out of 100 that's going to cause you grief. If you're a new lender, you're doing your first 203K project, and it's a nightmare, realize that you got that bad one out of there right up front. You're going to have 98 or 99 more in a row with no problems. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, as Peggy and I travel around the country, we try to visit most of our state representatives now and then, especially when we're in their areas. It's always good to get their perspectives on the aspects of the program that we serve and update them on the latest changes in the industry and the changes in our software. We also have some nice disclaimers that we've learned about over the years. Recently, we've had a court challenged one of our consultants, and instead of calling us and letting us know so we could help him through that, he handled it himself and lost. There were some other issues that came into play that may or may not be totally on the up and up that were against him. But not too long ago, we met with our South Carolina and North Carolina groups, teams. We discussed a lot of things, and most people were not aware of the VA, the new VA renovation loan, which is much like the standard 203K. One of the guys indicated that he was aware of it. But the lender that he was told about it is not using consultants. Well, that's not too good to do that. HUD is made up of two entities, FHA, which is an insurance company, and VA, which is a lender. HUD consultants tells you right away, we work for HUD. We work for Housing and Urban Development. We work for the big daddy, and that is comprised of FHA and VA. This new loan is a VA loan, and it came out with consultants being required. Even when it was only $35,000 maximum, they wanted consultants on the ground, eyes on the ground, so that they can have somebody on their team that's looking at these properties. So be sure and talk it up with your lenders. If they're doing VA loans and they're doing the renovation loan, they are required to use consultants. Don't let them get away with it if they're trying to get by without consultants. We may have to get a hold of the VA ourselves on your behalf if you choose that's the route you want to go. So you're not kicking up the dust, we'll kick up the dust for you. But anyway, also FHA 203K increased the amount of money that could be put into swimming pools for the repairs. It used to be a maximum of $1,500. Well, with the last revision of the 4000.1 handbook, they have taken away that $1,500 limit. $1,500 barely covered the equipment if you had to replace the pool equipment. Early in our career, we had a deal where the people who were being evicted from the house chose to take all their debris from their Rottweilers and sweep it into the pool. And they had pretty much got to clean that out. They also took an axe to the pool equipment. So with the new guideline, that could all be fixed readily. I had another friend of ours that went on vacation and weren't doing a renovation loan at all. They just left on vacation. And when they were gone, it was October or November. They were going to Europe for 6 or 8 weeks. And they decided rather than leave the pool as a attractive nuisance for their neighbor kids to possibly get hurt, they drained their pool before they left in the rainy season. And if you don't know what that means you've got a boat that's sitting in a hole, and when the moisture level comes up in the ground and floats your boat, it comes right up out of the ground. You do not empty a swimming pool in the rainy season. And you better get some professional help if you're going to drain the pool at any time, for that matter. Another thing that happens from time to time, people don't realize that I don't want a pool. We've done houses where they've had pools in poor condition, and with the $1,500, they couldn't do anything to fix it. Today, they could redo that pool if they wanted to. But some people just don't want to have a pool. So they're talking about filling it in, maybe caving in the sides. Well, you have to get a permit to decommission a swimming pool. In most areas that I'm aware of, I don't know of any areas that'll let you demo a pool on your own. And it's quite interesting to watch it being done according to the rules. One of our clients decided that he would get the permit, but he didn't bother to look at it and didn't look at the rules. And he drilled a bunch of 4-inch holes in the bottom of the pool. So the water that did get rained in and found its way into that pool area had a way to get out. But the rule here in California, at least in Marin County, was that it had to be 6-inch round holes, not 4-inch. So read the guidelines before you just jump in and try to decommission a pool. And after the holes are done, then they do cave in the sides and fill the hole with a lot of what's in the sides and then put dirt over the top of it. But it's done in a very prescribed manner. So don't see, in fact, I think we had one job when I was out there to do an inspection for a draw. They were in the process of tearing a pool apart. And I had to stop them because they had drilled 4-inch holes. And I said, "Do you have a permit to do the pool?" They said, "Oh, no, we didn't know we needed one." So we said, "Stop where you are. I don't care that you're renting a cat. Stop where you are and find out what the rules are for that. You have to have this inspected before any work begins, and you've already started work. But I think you can get past that one if you go down and get the permits now." And they did, and then they had to go back in and drill 6-inch holes. So, another thing, if you need a new swimming pool from scratch, you can't do that with FHA, but you can do it with Fannie Mae's Homestyle Loan Program, Homestyle Renovation Mortgage Program. How's that? Let's get it all in there. So, Fannie Mae is the rising star in the renovation industry. They recently added manufactured homes. Well, FHA's had that for years. You can renovate a manufactured home that was built after June 30th, 1976, under the FHA 203K program. We've actually taken a house. It has to be a double wide, at least, or larger. But we've actually had them remove a double wide and keep that foundation and install a triple wide using that full foundation and adding some foundation to it. In our career, that we've seen pretty much everything. I thought we'd do a lot more move-ons where you housing area, houses are being removed to widen the road. We've only seen one of those. In all our years, but it's fun to watch that house go down the street and then be pulled in on your lot and sit down on a foundation that was actually built before the house got to the lot. So some of them, one house I saw, but it wasn't one of our jobs. They actually brought the house in on the new lot, set it down, and then built the foundation. But believe it or not, contractors can build the foundation with the blueprints. And if you have good blueprints on the house you're moving, that's probably the way to do it. Okay, Fannie Mae. There's a lot of gated communities where you have manufactured homes. They're great. You know, you got up, got swimming pools and gyms and all that stuff, and you don't have to maintain all that stuff. Somebody else does. You got yoga programs, Tai Chang, swimming, aerobics classes, all kinds of exercise classes. They're great. But typically, there are manufactured homes on leased land. None of the programs we've talked about so far are good for that. Renovating or renovation of manufactured homes has to be on homes that are part of the land, that the land is part of the transaction. It has to be on owned land, not leased land. So, but if you got a brand new investor, and next week we're not able to be in town. We're going to be having a replay of one of our other shows. But the following week, I'm thinking we'll probably talk about investing, investors, and so forth. So if you're an investor, you want to know about how you can maximize the use of the 203K / homestyle renovation mortgage, then you want to tune into that show for sure. I personally think that there's money to be made renovating these manufactured homes. And if you've got a little bit of cash, you might get into on those leased homes and pick them up. Years ago, I could pick them up for a buck. Somebody's got an older home and they just leave the park and they leave the home because they don't think it's worth anything. I did one, the first one I did, rather, it was a single wide. It was in a mobile home park, and some friends of mine were managing that park and told me about it. I actually needed a temporary place to stay while I was building the factory. So I picked it up for a buck, got in there and fixed it up, lived in it for about 6 months while we built the factory and got our new house built. And then we put it up for sale. Now I put about, $8,000 or $10,000 into the renovation. And we sold it for $17,000 after using it for 6 months as a place to stay and cook our meals and sleep and do all that stuff. So anything is possible. And for a young entrepreneur who is just getting started investing properties, it might be a very cheap way to get started. And they're readily saleable. You can buy double wides and triple wides and so forth. You can put brand new units out. But if you want to get into something where you can pick it up for a dollar, and I'm literally talking a dollar, and fix it up and flip it pretty quick, there's money to be made. It's smaller money, but it's for the smaller investor. Okay, we're going to take another minute and be back with you shortly. If you want to be part of this conversations, join us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. If you want to be part of our show, call us at 888-627-6008. Picking up where we left off, we had a consultant call in and said, Mike, we got a house, has a bad stucco job. Borrower wants to repair it outside the 203K program. Can they do that? Or would HUD require it to be rebuilt or repaired during the process of the 203K? I would think they'd want at least a stucco inspection. Okay, that was the question. What do you think was the actual end of that question? That was the prep in the question. So picking up the borrower, borrowers have a tendency to want to do all the work or some of the work themselves. They think they can build some sweat equity. But if you are a, if you have a 9-to-5 job or an 8-to-4 job, an 8-to-6 job or longer, some of these people are working, have their own businesses and they're working a lot longer than that. When are they going to have the time to do these additional repairs? So it's always an issue, almost on every 203K anymore. The other day I went out to do a final inspection. I'm expecting to see a house that looks like a, I don't know, a magazine article, so I can get my pictures, my final inspection pictures. We do something special for our clients that have nice projects that end well. And they used to, seem like they used to do it a lot more than they do today, have these houses ready for a show. They're not cleaning it up. The windows have been washed. The floors have been swept and they're clean, maybe even mopped. And this house is pristine, ready to move in. Today, I go out to do a final and the porta toilet is still sitting in the front yard. How can I get a good, clean shot that shows the beautiful home that they just painted and the brand new roof with a porta toilet in the front seat, in the front yard? It's just beyond me. Then you walk inside and there's six guys still working in the house. And the contractor says, yeah, they'll be done here before we get through this form that you got us to sign. Yeah, right. But it doesn't help my pictures. It doesn't help what I'm preparing to do for them that I didn't share with anybody, because if I get those nice pictures, I get them. And if I don't, I don't worry about doing that nice thing, which is a shame. But what happens is that every homeowner thinks they're a painter, so they want to do the painting. If we don't say that painting is going to be done in our scope of work, it isn't going to be done as far as the appraiser is concerned. We've tried to put it in there, the interior paint by borrower, and it really freaks out the lenders in many cases. The underwriters said, no. They can't do any of the work. They're not licensed to do the work. They're not got the time to do the work, you know, and so forth. Some cases they are licensed contractors and they can do the work themselves. But we try to stay away from that as much as possible. It's just not a good business. There's always a better way to do it, though. We had one not too long ago where the borrower, and they didn't share this with us ahead of time, that they were changing the scope, adding a lot of work to it. They were selling their other house, and they were going to take that $175,000 they're getting out of equity out of the other house and do this other work all by themselves with their own money. Well, that's great. But what happens more often than not is they're going to be in the contractor's way. Are they planning to do the work themselves physically? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're going to coordinate with the contractor to do that. I have one right now that was a 3-month job. We just threw our hands up, me and the lender, after just over a year, because the homeowner wouldn't let us come out and do a draw. She had actually put in a brand new kitchen that wasn't in our scope, taken a wall out that was not in our scope. She used that contractor, but our scope would have been done in 3 months. And here we are over a year, and she just keeps adding work. It's terrible. So there's also nobody there to inspect it. So if you're adding all this other work on and you don't have the attitude is, well, this isn't what I wanted. This is not right. Mike, come over here and take a look at this. is this meet your requirements? I said, it's not in my scope. I'm not supposed to look at that. I'm not being paid to look at that. I'm being paid to look at these things on the scope. And you're asking me to go over there and spend my time. I said, why don't we go play golf and I'll buy. That's what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to go do something that isn't in my scope and to pay for it. I don't know. I just don't want to do that. I'm not inclined to do that. My job would have been done. I'd been out of here and this job would have been finished, except you've added so much more work. And now you're wanting me to look at that work for you for free and render an opinion. No, I get paid for my opinions. So anyway, if they want us to inspect it, there's a better way to do this. If they've got $175,000, that is going to make at least 20% down payment. Why don't you take that same money, put it into the kitty, into the renovation loan pot as part of your contingency reserve. And if it's not used at the end, it'll be paid back to you. Okay. So you make sure they put earmark some of it for contingency reserve. And then the rest of it, you're just putting in to do these other things. But that way, these other things can be listed on your scope of work. They will be inspected at the same time as we inspect other things. So you're getting the best of both worlds. So that's what we should be doing. In doing so, you may get out of the PMI. Because if they switch this thing from FHA to Fannie Mae and you're putting more than 20% down, bingo. And I don't know if the people in California, I was born and raised in California, currently living in Las Vegas, but the fun part of what I see this thing doing, years ago I bought a house and I happened to be putting 30% down. I put a little more than 30% down. And when I did, I had just gotten out of the service and I used my CalVet. CalVet got my paperwork turned into them. And about 4 days after I turned that in, I called them and I said, do you have just a rough idea? I'm not trying to push you. I just want to know approximately how fast you can close the loan. And he says, oh, you can close this tomorrow if you want. And I said, wait a minute, you haven't done any verification of employment or verification of income and all that stuff that I'm pretty sure you need to do. And they said, no, sir, we don't need to do any of that. With CalVet, and this is important to any vets that may have bad credit, but lots of cash. If you put 30% down with CalVet, they don't check your credit. They don't check your credit. So you're in that house. They can close in 10 days or less when you're putting that much down. So keep that in mind. Luckily for us, we bought the last house and paid all cash. But anyway, it's either that or leave it in the bank, right? Might as well leave it in property. So if you can get out of that PMI, that's $250 to $500 a month quite often. In California, it can be even higher than that. It runs 0.85% of the total loan amount. So 0.85 on a standard $679,000 loan is $577 a month. $577 that they could save by using that money properly and staying within the guideline. The guideline says they can't just do change orders and use all the contingency. They're supposed to put that other money up in cash and put it into the bank so that we can divvy it out as the work gets done anyway. So anyway, there's that. The same consultant had a question about or a comment more, and then the question. The comment was, there was a large stack of hardwood flooring in boxes in the garage. at the time of the initial inspection. Well, you know, you see the boxes there, and they're all nicely wrapped in their pretty little cardboard boxes. And maybe you open one and you see that the wood is there, or maybe it's open and you just see it. But who is going to doubt that the hardwood isn't there? Seller said it's there. It appears to be there, and there's lots of it there, plenty to do the entire home. But when they moved in, they found out that those wood flooring was infested with termites. My inspectors that called me, the HUD consultant that called me, says, I had never seen so many termites in one place in all my life. Every box was riddled with termites. So now you've got a scope of work, and you said install the existing hardwood flooring. You now have a problem. One, you have to get rid of the termites. If you haven't already planned to do that, you better get that done first. When they're through cardboard like that, they're probably going to want to tent it for drywood termites. But let your termite guy figure that out. Wood-destroying organisms. Anyway, it's hard to ignore when you see it on the floor. But what next time I would suggest to take a better look to solve those issues. I've done that myself, and we didn't have any problems. But now it makes me want to open some of those boxes and make sure we don't have an issue with termites in the brand new boxes of stuff. I don't think we'll have any trouble using the contingency reserve to, because it's clearly of necessity. Everybody saw the wood was there. Everybody thought the wood was there for the hardwood floors. It's not. So I don't think it'll be any problem at all using the contingency reserve, which is slated for health, safety, or of necessity issues. I think this qualifies quite well. Another consultant called this week and said, hey, Mike, do you know of any requirements for having an energy audit done before a loan can be processed or closed? Is there something in the works for the future? Well, I know that in California, where I'm from, they have what they call Cal Green. And there may be similar issues in other states where they're now requiring green energy inspections. If the house has had a green inspection, it'll have a rating. Usually they put it out on the garage, inside the garage to the left or right. Usually it's on the right side, as I recall, as you enter the garage door. Look on the right and see if there's an energy rating on that house. You may already have that nailed. But if you would, if all you guys that are out there, if you hear of anything, please share it with us. Send us an email. Let us know what you find in your states, and we'll try to organize that and so we have more information in the future. That was that one. I had a comment that was brought up. Somebody asked me about in California, particularly Alameda, Contra Costa County, there was a utilities are run by East Bay Municipal Utilities District, East Bay MUD, as they're referred to commonly in the Bay Area. They require on any house that's transferring ownership, it has to have a sewer lateral inspection, because they're finding so many of these sewer laterals have given up. They've broken. They no longer adequately carry the sewage to the street. So in California, now this Alameda Contra Costa County came up with a program where it's mandatory. You have to have it inspected. If it's bad, the law actually says the seller has to fix it. So to me, it's a no-brainer, because the inspection's about $175, maybe a little bit more now. But for $175, they run a camera through there and see if it's good, in good shape all the way out to the sewer. If it's the seller or the owner's responsibility, the owner's, not the seller, the owner's responsibility, before you purchase it, who's the owner? The seller. So to me, every realtor should be in Contra Costa and Alameda counties for sure, should be requiring a sewer lateral request or inspection in order to protect the best interest of their client. A sewer lateral replacement could cost from $3,500 on up to $17,000 or more in some cases. So if the owner has to fix it and you determine that it needs fixing prior to the sale, then the seller has to fix it. Now, the seller can sell it and drop the price, and then the buyer can fix it under the FHA 203K or the home-style renovation mortgage. If that's the only work, it is a standard or full 203K. Any septic or sewer system work becomes a standard 203K. East Bay Municipal Utilities District, it's easier to say East Bay MUD, requires a $4,500 deposit to hold that, make sure it gets done. And if it's not, they'll go in and fix it for that. So we're all done for this segment. We got one back, one more. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay tuned. If you want to call us, be sure and call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back to the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. We're back. If you want to be part of the show, dial us at Kyle Spit 888-627-6008. I should have wiped my lip off there after that drink. Anyway, the next question that came in from a consultant last week was, they've been asked about an EEM, or I've been asked about EEM or energy efficient stuff as it relates to the 203K. Is there any program for energy, or is that just another government program? Well, we've used the EEM on several occasions over the last few years, actually the last 15 years, and they piggyback a 203K. You can utilize a energy efficient mortgage, combine it with a 203K, and actually get a loan for that exceeds the maximum loan amount in your county. So in California, I believe the maximum loan amount is $679,000. But by coupling a energy efficient mortgage with it, as long as there's enough energy changes being made, upgrades being made, we can pick up another 5%, up to another 5%. So 10% of $679.67. So we're looking at about almost $35,000, about $33,000 they can get a loan that exceeds the $679 by $33,000 more dollars. So they're over $700,000. Come on, Mike, get your tongue working. It's quite good. Quite often can save a deal and help the borrowers put up a smaller down payment. Typically, if they're over the maximum mortgage amount, you have to bring the extra cash to close. But if you couple an energy efficient mortgage, and it's not that hard to do, you can bring less to close by that amount. We had one year that was due to close like 12/26 of or 12/27 is supposed to close right after Christmas. And I know people get excited around Christmas, and this borrower had listened to me. Luckily, he had listened to me very carefully and knew what to do. If he had a problem, was to call me right away and let me deal with the problem as sooner rather than later. Don't wait until the deal has died before you bring me the problem. Let me see the problem as soon as it arises. So what happened was they went to close escrow. They did a credit check shortly before it was to sign, and the lender found out that they had charged $8,000 on their kids' gifts and their family's gifts and all this stuff, and ran it up on their credit cards. They no longer credit qualified for this loan. The deal, according to the lender, had crashed. It was not going to happen. Now look at all that, a payday for the lender, a payday for the loan, excuse me, the realtor, a new house for the borrower. Wasn't too bad for me because we'd already been paid. Most consultants, I recommend all consultants get paid at the time of the inspection, because we never know when they're going to close or how long, and you'd never keep us in that loop. But the client called me and told me, oh my God, my deal's falling apart. We charge too much on our credit cards. He didn't say how much. I called the loan officer. The loan officer explained, oh yeah, $8,000. $8,000, that's the number I needed to know. I said, I'll call you back in a little bit. I called him back and I said, we're good. We're good to go. We've got more than $8,000 in energy efficient stuff. We closed this loan one day late. One day later than they anticipated, because we were able to piggyback an EEM, an energy efficient mortgage, on top of it and put that deal back together. Guess who was the hero? Me. Because the lender had, when I told him about the EEM, he said, oh my God, I forgot all about that. But what was more important is the realtor, all that work, that commission that was going to happen between Christmas and New Year's happened. We worked as a team and put that deal back together and got it closed. And our family, our clients got their dream home and the work started. I feel so good when we're able to help somebody like that, that just didn't know better and got it screwed up. But we were able to get it put back together. The realtor was so appreciative, as you can imagine, as was the loan officer. So, continuing with 203K for realtors. Okay, that was all the calls we had last week, but realtors in general, want to know what properties are eligible for financing under the 203K loan. And it's whatever a 203B would take effectively. I want to think out of the box just a little bit. Realtors quite often get stratified in their thinking, and it's a low inventory out there. There's no inventory on the MLS. Well, that's not the only place there's inventory. I can give you a dozen places to find real estate. The fun part of this stuff is look for something that everybody else is not looking for. Look for a 6-unit building. Look for 5-unit buildings that are cheap. They are commercial properties, but if you can turn them into a fourplex, they're a residential property again. Residential considers 1 to 4 units is considered residential. 5 or more is commercial. One of my favorite stories was a product we had. It was 8 studio apartments that we turned into fourplex. This had been sitting vacant for years. So drywall inside had been removed and all that stuff. There wasn't much left to this house. The lady that owned it didn't want it, but she was 95 and didn't want to go to her grave owing the $2,500 taxes. We actually picked this up and got it. We picked this up for $2,500 for my client. So anyway, we have a lot to talk about next week. Next week we're going to be taking a little time off. We got a prior engagement that's gotten away. 2 weeks from now, we'll be back. We're going to be talking more about realtors and kind of properties that they can get that keeps them ahead of the group. Think out of the box. It's going to be Think Out of the Box. I think we'll title it that. If you want to see us, check out our websites. We just renovated about 12 websites, and we look forward to your input. If you like what you see, let us know. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week at the same time, 1 to 2 p.m. every Sunday. So good night for now. We'll see you later.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.